best book on church, on the church, I think, is the book of Acts. And if we want to see what they did, we want to see again what happened there. Maybe we need to go back and see what they did. And I think there's so much to learn. And so we're into the second of those attributes. The first was that they believed, they really believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus stood at Mount Olivet and was lifted up, those angels said, hey, he promised you he'd come again. And so go get busy. And then so we saw that that church was driven by the idea that Jesus Christ was going to come in their lifetime. First Thessalonians, Paul had to deal with a church that was distraught because some of the people had died and Christ hadn't come back yet. What about those people that died? Because they fully expected Christ to come in their lifetime. We should fully expect Jesus Christ to come in our lifetime. We're not setting dates, but it would be profitable for each of us if we lived in daily anticipation of his coming. We won't reteach that. The second attribute was the power of united prayer. We discovered that in just into the first chapter of the book of Acts. I want to open up here in Matthew because I want to read a little bit about the idea of closet prayer, and we're going to take that and compare it to united prayer so that we have a better understanding of what the Bible means when it talks about this matter of the church uniting together for prayer. Matthew chapter 6, if you look in verse 5, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew 6, verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a sacred subject, an important subject. There's a lot of different ways to pray, a lot of different places to pray. So, Lord, as we further define the matter of united prayer, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to understand as a church what it is, how they practiced it in the book of Acts, and then, Lord, help us to be able to realign our prayer life accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to look at closet prayer in just a moment here, so let me set that off to the side just temporarily as I do a quick review. In the book of Acts, there's three scriptural examples of united prayer. Three examples in the book of Acts of the church practicing united prayer. From these examples, we can fashion a definition of what united prayer is and what it is not. Example one, united prayer for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1, we studied that, looked at it last week. The prayer meeting was in direct obedience to the command of Jesus Christ. He said, you go to that upper room and don't leave it till you're endued with power from on high. Don't go racing out trying to accomplish the Great Commission in your own power. That's not going to work. Get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then go. They were in one place, 120 Christians. The Bible says they were in one accord. And the prayer meeting centered on one request, one place, one accord, one request. They were seeking a baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit for power and boldness in evangelism. That was the prayer request. Example number two is in Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter. This is where persecution first hits the church. And there are some of the church fathers that are detained and threatened. And you know what? Right after they're released, they go to the church and they report. And you know what? They decided we need to pray. Again, they are all meeting in one place. The Bible specifically mentions in Acts 4:24, they were in one accord. And the prayer meeting was centered on increased boldness for witnessing. In the face of persecution, Lord, help us not to back down. Help us not to back up. Help us not to shut up. Help us to stand up. Help us to be more bold than we were before. Help us not to fear men, but to be in obedience to you. And then example number three was in Acts chapter 12. This prayer meeting was in one place, Mary's house. And the prayer meeting was held because they were seeking God's face and asking God to spare the life of the Apostle Peter. This prayer meeting was held by Christians in one accord, verse 5. And this prayer meeting was centered on asking God to spare Peter's life. Here was one of their own that was in a life or death situation. The church came together, one place, one accord, one request. One place, one accord, one request. All three examples yield the same three ingredients, okay? United prayer as defined in the book of Acts. By the way, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, are we turning the world upside down? Then maybe we ought to get back to what they were doing when they were turning the world upside down. Instead of second guessing the Bible, maybe we ought to just obey the Bible, you know. And so all united prayer occurs when the church gathers together in one place, one accord to pray for one request. They're focused on one major request. What did it work, preacher? Did it work? Yeah, it did. Example one, the church gathered for 10 days in the upper room to pray. And you know what? They were endued with power from on high. They left the upper room, 120 Christians. And you know what? Through personal soul winning, they all spoke the wonderful works of God. And public preaching, 3,000 people were saved and baptized. I'd say it worked. You know, Peter and John are detained and threatened because of the miraculous healing of the lame man. And you know what? They've been threatened and said that they can preach no more in Jesus' name. They go right to the church to report what happens. The church gathers to pray that God would give them boldness to witness despite the threat to their lives. One place, one accord, praying for the same thing. The Bible says the place where they prayed was shaken and they were all filled afresh with the Spirit of God. They headed back out in power, boldly preaching Christ. And by the way, that led to the next great harvest of souls. Hey, it worked. What about Peter? Peter's arrested. His execution planned. The church gathers in Mary's house to pray for his release. They're in one place, one accord, praying for one thing. Angels are sent by God in response to their prayers to Peter's prison. Miraculously released, his life is spared. He goes on to many more years of productive service for the Lord. I guess I want to put an exclamation point on this, folks. United prayer, as it's defined by the Bible, works. It works. So what has happened? What has hijacked this formula? Why are we not activating this formula today in our local assembly? Well, if I'm the devil and I know what we all now know, and the devil does know it, then to defeat united prayer, all he's got to do is attack one of the three ingredients. And so what's he doing? He's trying to keep the church from assembling. Satan fights against Christians assembling, and especially assembling to pray. Unfaithfulness to church destroys the chance for united prayer. And that's why I want to encourage each and every one of you. This is what we've done on Wednesday nights for years and years and years. And this isn't just Bible study. This is prayer meeting. Okay, a lot of people have gone from Bible. It used to be prayer meeting. Now it's Bible study and prayer meeting. And now someone's gone just preaching. And when are we praying? I don't care if you don't do it on Wednesday night. But when is the church gathering together in one place, in one accord, focusing on one major request? When are we doing that? When are we doing that? And so if it's not in the program, let's get it in the program. And so there's a power. There's a power that comes through united prayer. If I'm the devil, I'm going to try to keep people from going to whatever the prayer meeting is. I remember there was a church where me and my wife used to live when we were pastoring in Brazil. And you know what? There was a church that we'd go by. And on Wednesday night, there'd be a handful of cars there, just a very few cars. They had Bible study and prayer meeting. And you go by their church on the way home next Wednesday night. Very few cars there. And then once a month, though, they had business meeting. And I'm going to tell you what, there'd be 50, 60 cars there for business meeting because, you know, showing up and making sure you have your say on the way you think the church ought to be run, so much more important than showing up and getting on your knees and actually praying for God to do the supernatural. We got to be careful, folks. One place. Let's not let the Lord talk us out of the importance of the midweek service, okay? How about one place, one accord? So if I'm the devil, I'm going to fight against Christians being in one accord. I'm going to try to start schisms in the church and disharmony and division. People get their feelings hurt, you know, start walking in with a chip on your shoulder and your feelings on your sleeve. And if you've just come here tonight to find something to be offended about, you'll probably find it before you leave here. I mean, you know, that's what you're, hey, seek and ye shall find. What the Bible says. So what are you seeking? Instead of doing that, let's foster a spirit of accord. Let's love one another. Let's understand nobody in here is perfect. all different levels of Christian growth, all different personality types. And you know what? Everybody in this church, God loves every single person just as much as he loves me. They're just as valuable to him as I am. And you know what? These are my brothers and sisters, and we're a family. And it doesn't mean that we have to always see eye to eye on everything. But you know what? When it comes prayer time, we can set all that nonsense aside, and we can say there's something more important than, you know, whether or not I root for one team or another team, or, you know what, my favorite color is blue and his is green, so can two walk together except they be agreed. And, you know, it's amazing what we'll use the Bible to do, misuse the Bible to cause silliness if we're not careful. So just be, hey, listen, I know I shoot that over the bow, but just listen, folks. I promise you, the devil never quits at this. And so I can't control it. I can't control from the pulpit. It's not my job to control it from the pulpit. I'm going to bring it up and preach on it when we come across it like I am now. But you know what, men? In your house, you're the leader in that house. And you got kids coming home and they're bickering with other kids, or teens can't get along. It's time to call time out, set everybody around the table and say, we don't do that. Okay? Whatever the latest drama is, we're not interested. We're not going to get caught up in it. We're not going to get into the gossip sessions. We're not going to be getting into the texting nonsense. And this happened, and I think it ought to happen that way. And all that. Really? The world is dying and going to hell. And yet, you know, you're still mad because you wouldn't have picked this carpet out. Tell me you're a better Christian than that, okay? And so, you know, at some point, what are we doing? This is the devil. The Holy Spirit is one that always fosters unity, the spirit of unity. It's the devil that always fights against that. Why? Because he's scared of united prayer. Number three, one request. Satan fights, now put your seatbelt on, Satan fights Christians focusing their prayers together for evangelism, Holy Spirit fullness, boldness in witnessing and revival. Selfishness insists that the church focus on my personal prayer request, which I contend should be closet request instead of praying for souls to be saved. Now, folks, I give folks an opportunity. I read off some prayer requests. Any service, you can walk in that back door, go to the information desk, fill out something that you'd like the church to pray over. It'll be read right after, as we at the beginning of announcements. But, folks, that's not what we're going to focus on in a few minutes when we go to United Prayer. Okay? You know, I think you say, well, preacher, isn't there time to pray one for another? Yes. I hope every single one of you in your closet on your prayer list is the names of every single family in this church. Okay? I mean, y'all get prayed for. You understand that? Okay, I'll see to that y'all get prayed for. And there's other people in here see y'all get prayed for. Why isn't that enough? Why does it always have to be in front of the crowd? Now look right up here, because I'm going to help you with something, okay? Watch this. It could it be, and I'm just going to throw some things out, and you know what? If the Holy Spirit says, yep, that's the problem, then take care of it. But it isn't the problem. I think so many times Christians, they have a crisis in their life. You know what they do? They say, I've got to get to some Christians that know how to pray. I got to get a hold of some, I got to get this before the church, because there's people in that church that know how to get a hold of God. Well, why don't you know how to get a hold of God? I mean, does the prayer request thing just become an easy out? I'll let spiritual people take my prayer request to the Lord, because I know in my heart of hearts that I'm not right enough with the Lord. Come on. The Bible talks about our iniquities come between us and the Lord, so that he will not hear our prayers. So what I'm going to do is every time I get a crisis, I'm going to run to the preacher or the deacons or somebody and ladies in the church that I know walk close to the Lord. Well, maybe God wants you to walk close to the Lord. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I challenged you last Wednesday night. You showed me a verse in the Bible that says that, you know, the prayers are answered in proportion to the number of people that are praying. Now, let's lay it out there. If I missed it, bring it to me. I'd love to see it. All I know is Elijah stood by himself on Mount Carmel. One voice prayed. There wasn't anybody there on his side, and fire fell. If it needed to have a certain number, he'd have been in trouble. Now, you know, and I don't want this to sound arrogant, because it's not arrogant. Trust me, you get one of the ways that helps you get on praying ground is through humility before God, but it also is through faith that God hears your prayers and getting clean before the Lord. And knowing that, you know what, you don't have to have 50 people or 100 people. And or hey, we got it. I'm telling you, that prayer request went all over the country. And there's thousands of Christians praying. Boy, you're going to throw something at me. That's great. That's great. But you know what? I don't need 999 other people. Show me a verse. Show me a verse. We got it. We've said that so many times that we've convinced ourselves that, you know, we get enough people praying. Well, does God wait and say, well, sorry, I just can't pray that. There's not enough. There's just too much in the Bible that shows one man or one woman going before God. Now, that takes us to the portion of scripture we read tonight we didn't get to last. Hey, let's talk about the other side of the coin. Okay, there's time for united prayer. One place, one accord, one request. What are we going to pray for in a few minutes here? Your preacher's instructed you, you know. Listen, folks, Wednesday night prayer meeting is about praying for God to show up on Sunday. It's for evangelism. It's for Holy Spirit power. It's for the visits that'll be made and the witnessing that'll be done. And you know what? Let's pray for Sunday. Let's pray that God brings lost people. Let's pray that our tracks are get into the right hand. It's about winning the world to Christ. That's what it's about. Two to the three times it was, you know, I've said this, you know, I've been in those prayer meetings and watched them for years growing up, and here we are on a Wednesday night, and let's get the pen out, and let's take some prayer requests, and, you know, and this person's got this, and this lady, right before she walked out, watched on WTWO, and there was an accident up on Route 63, and well, I'd be a terrible Christian if I criticized that, because, I mean, we're watching TV to figure out if we got a more dramatic prayer request than the other person. I mean, you know, and you say there's nothing serious. No, there's serious things going on. There's serious things going on. Okay, Peter didn't show up in that upper room and say, can we take prayer requests? Jesus gave him the prayer request. And I will tell you this, and if you heard it and I didn't hear it, I'll stand corrected, but I promise it didn't happen much if it ever happened. Never did I ever hear one person raise their hand and say, preacher, would you tonight, could we put on the prayer list that we would all be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that when we witness this week, their lives will be touched and we'll have the power that we need. And it was always Aunt Susie's this and Uncle Bill's this and Grandpa's this. And you say, well, man, I just can't believe you don't think those things are important. Did I already tell you that I'm praying for you? I'm praying for you. Where? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Okay? And when, watch this. This is incredible. And when thou hast what? Shut the door. So you not only went in there by yourself, now you shut the door. So who's in that closet? And who else? Come on. Come on. Okay. I think a lot of times people are too lazy to pray themselves. So I'm going to bring this for the church. Could it be that I just need my name mentioned? I'm just so insecure and always need people focused on me that I've got to have something about me, you know, at least once a week on the prayer chain. Just so people will one more time remember I'm here. I mean, what is this about? Okay, like I said, you want to have a talk afterwards? Bring your Bible. Because I'm right on this. Why are you right? Because the Bible's right. And I'm standing right where the Bible is. Folks, let me say this. It's not a stretch to say this. The devil, I believe, has cluttered up the opportunity for us to see united prayer in a scriptural fashion with miraculous results, because everybody shows up with their closet requests. And when they want me to spend an hour praying for everybody's closet requests, but wait a minute, what are you robbing yourself of? What's it say? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in what? That means nobody else knows about this prayer request except you and God. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall, just say maybe, might, shall, you know what? This is a big deal to God. It's a big deal when a Christian says, Lord, I'm not telling anybody else about this between me and you. And Lord, I'm going to get a hold of you and I'm going to do what I need to get things right between me and you and make sure I've got a clean heart and clean hands. That's why if you read on down here, there's some instruction in this same passage of scripture about, hey, you know what? You want to ask God to forgive you and you haven't forgiven a brother, you might want to go ask that brother to forgive you before you ask God to forgive you. You know what this does? This keeps us clean. Keeps us on what the old timers used to call praying ground. Okay? And this is what's so exciting. Nobody but you knows it about this request. You go in and now nobody knows except you and God. And you pray this in secret, and when God rewards you openly, I mean, when he does that, you know what you get to experience? It wasn't one of the 1,000 people that I got praying that I happened to get one of them that got a hold of God. I can pray. God hears me. God loves me. God wants to do miraculous things in my life. And all of a sudden that prayer life becomes amazing and important because you know what? You have this personal time with the Lord. Now, folks, listen to me. You know, my brother Ron, you know, here he's got a son that ended up falling off of a bridge and injuring himself and life or death and on life support. And you know what? You know what I want him to do? I want him to get a hold of the church and let's start praying. Do you understand? And I've said this from the pulpit, and I mean this with all of my heart. We've never, you know, vetted the prayer requests. Nobody's ever called and said, can you put this on prayer chain without me saying, absolutely. If it's important enough to you and the Holy Spirit so leads you, you know what? I'm never going to argue about it. But I do want you to consider, please, the Bible and the scripture. Because, again, is it that we don't really pray, so we need other people praying for us? Have we decided, and you got to have 100 people praying or it won't work, or 1,000 or 2,000? What's the magic number? Then it's an automatic answer. Is it really we're not in a good spiritual condition to get hold of the Lord? And if we get in his presence and bring something like this to him, he's going to start dealing with some things we need to get fixed first before we can have a serious God. What is it? What is it? Okay, and whatever that is, let's get it fixed. Let's get it right, okay? Because like I said the other day, me and my wife have a lot of things going on in our life, more than anybody in here knows. We see prayers answered on a regular basis, and we didn't bring them here. Okay, I'm not a priest, okay? You're a royal priesthood. Okay, you don't have to go through a man. I mean, we got some Catholic thoughts going in our head where, you know, I don't know where we get all this stuff at, but it just seems like we've just kind of turned this thing. Are you okay so far? Everybody okay? This is what I want you to experience. I want everybody in here to experience this, and I want you to answer this question again. This is a guilt trip. This isn't me trying to feel, I feel like a ton of things are wrong. This is a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart that wants everyone in this room to have that precious, sweet, personal relationship with God. And know that he loves you. And that he wants you to come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. And by the way, if it's something catastrophic or something big or something that's just terrible, it may not seem like big to everybody else, but it's important to you, and you call me, I will join you in prayer and I will never fail you in that. Okay, but when it gets answered, will you know whether it was you or me? And I think sometimes God wants you to know that he hears you. Okay? All right? I'm not trying to cut down on prayer requests. I don't know how else to say this. I'm doing the best I can, folks. But I just kind of watch this whole prayer meeting thing morph into something that I'm not sure if we really get in the Bible, what are we missing? Okay? Everybody wants Book of Acts stuff to happen. Okay? So what are the 15 abounding attributes of the Book of Acts? Those people believe, I mean, they really believe. I don't mean here, I mean here. That Jesus Christ was coming back in their lifetime and that changed the way they lived every day of their life. That's why that the Bible says daily and in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. That was a motivational thing. That helped keep them clean. Man, I want to go in that place, but I shouldn't go in there because Jesus might come, and I don't want to be in there when he comes. I might be talking about this or listening to this, and I don't want to do that because he's coming back. And, you know, they bought into it. Why don't we buy into it? The imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get into this matter of prayer, prayer is such an important thing in the church. I may end up having to go a third week on this, but, you know, let me just read a few verses to you. The power of united prayer is given to the local church. You know, Matthew 16, where it says, Jesus said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Listen. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." That's not creating a papacy. All right? Peter wasn't the first pope. Those keys were given to the church. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 18, "I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." And that's not talking about church. That's talking about prayer meeting time. Let's watch this. I want you to understand something. What he said, what you bind on earth, if the church comes together, listen, you realize in order for the supernatural working of God to happen, some things have to be bound. Okay? What has to be bound? Our enemy, demonic influences, loose tongues in the community. You know, I don't like saying this, and I always got to think I'm on live stream, but you know, we have somebody visiting our church. They come two or three times, loves the church, and was picking up their kids at the public school and looked over at somebody that was there waiting and said, "Man, welcome to the community. They just moved here. Welcome to the community. And yeah, we found the best church in the world. We love it. And where are you going?" "Blessed Hope Baptist Church." First thing out of that person's mouth, that's a cult. And the lady said, "Well, where do you go to church?" "Well, we don't go." I love the fact that people who don't go to church knows how to judge a church. Now, what do I need bound? What do I need bound? Listen, I can't control all this stuff. It's amazing. If you just follow the Bible, I mean this, in this day and age with the humanistic teaching and the liberalism in most churches, if you just stick to the Bible, you are now called a cult in the United States of America. And that rips my heart out. Because I think to myself, good night. If there's a place, and there are a handful of places left in our community where people can walk in and actually hear the Bible preached and taught and not apologized for, line upon line, precept upon precept, carefully handled, encouraging people to be biblical Christians, it's in independent Baptist churches. And yet now all of a sudden we're a cult? Because, and so what do you do, preacher? I just go to my office sometimes in despair. And I'm like, Lord, we work so hard to work and reach these people and reach these kids. And then we've got people with loose tongues in the community that are just going around saying crazy stuff that they've never even been to our church. They don't know anything about our church. So listen to a bunch of small town gossip and just, you know, regurgitating what they heard. How do I bind that? Where's the power to bind it? How do we bind the devil and his influences? How do we bind and prevent the satanic attacks upon our young people? The church has been given the power to do it, but it has to happen in united prayer. Not only do things have to be bound for the miraculous to happen, some things have to be loosed. Okay, so study those two words out. Binding literally means to tie up, to restrict, to corner, to cage. Loose means to be set free. And you know, folks, listen to me. Sin will always bind. But grace frees us. Okay? I mean, think about that. Forgiveness frees us. You know, sin, if sin has crept into your life, it will bind you up. Some things need to be loose. You know what really needs to be set loose? The power of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let charismatics steal the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God from you. Where do we get that done at? See, this Wednesday night thing's important. I mean, to be asking God for, to listen, I can't defeat the devil, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I need supernatural moving of God to defeat those that are trying to defeat the church, to bind some things, to bind up some tongues. Okay? And then I also need God to loose some things. I'd like to see revival set loose. I'd like to see the power of the Holy Spirit set loose. I'd like to see Christians that are bound in sin and that one habitual sin. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, you know what? The devil's convinced you'll never beat it, but you can beat it. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray for those that are struggling. If a Christian's going through a tough time around here, folks, they shouldn't be the object of gossip. They should be the object of prayer. When you see the devil making certain bids against certain of our families or certain of our young people, and I mean, you know as well as I do, that Satan will unleash a specific and targeted attack against individuals and families at times. And if somebody's going through, I mean, they're getting hit and hit and hit and hit again, man alive, let's circle around them. Let's bind those satanic influences. Let's unleash the Holy Spirit in his movement, in his moving in our midst. There's such a wonderful thing that's available to us. And I think that when we get to heaven, a lot of what we did see and maybe did not see is going to be strongly connected to this important attribute of the local New Testament church, those first century Christians. When it came to prayer, they weren't messing around. Okay? They didn't come in there with a selfish spirit. They didn't come in there trying to figure out how they could turn everybody's attention on them. They came in wanting the Holy Spirit of God to fill them so they could go out and turn this world upside down. Why? Because they believed Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for meeting with us, and thank you for your patience with us and with this preacher, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, just to begin to experience, Lord, we have been, I think, to a certain measure, but to begin to experience the type of things that only God can do, that things that are loosed right now that need to be bound could be bound, and things that are bound could be loosed, and Lord, each of us would concentrate and seek the fullness of the Spirit of God and the boldness that comes with that. Lord, the devil's getting bolder. The attacks against the church and against Christianity, Lord, they're becoming more ferocious, more targeted, more real, to the point where we're not going to be able to ignore them anymore. They're coming right to the doors of the churches. Lord, I think we're going to see it getting worse. Lord, we need each other. We need to pull together. We need to pray specifically. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord. I want to pray for maybe that young person or maybe even an older Christian. The honest truth is they could not point to one thing where they said, nobody else but me and God knew about that. And God answered my prayer. I want them to experience that, Lord, so much, just so that their confidence would grow in you, their faith would grow in you. Lord, help them to know how much you love them, how much you want to hear from them. The invitation, come boldly, come boldly. I want to talk to you. I want to hear you. I want to perform miracles for you. Come boldly. Come tell me. You need grace. You need mercy in time of need. Come boldly. Come to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to experience that. In Jesus' name.